You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Chapter 1. The Healer's Stone. The scent was always the same, blood and fear. Seren Vale's fingers, stained with a poultice of crushed moon petal and moss, moved with a practiced calm. She stitched a rogue's torn flesh, her movements neat and economical. The wolf before her, a young male barely out of his first shift, whimpered as the needle pierced his skin. She didn't soothe him with soft words. She didn't offer empty comfort. Her touch was her only language, and it spoke of healing, not of hope. Hope was a fool's game, a candle flame in a hurricane. She'd learned that 10 years ago, in the ashes of her life. They say Bloodbane's army is on the move again, the young wolf rasped, his eyes wide with the terror she refused to feel. That his curse is getting worse. Seren tied off the final stitch, her knuckles brushing against the rough-spun cloth of his trousers. Rumors are just wind, and wind can't hurt you. Her voice was low, flat, a still lake over a chasm of jagged memories. The word curse snagged in her mind, a thorny vine. What did they know of curses? They feared a distant monster. She had looked that monster in the eyes. She cleaned her hands in a bowl of cool water, the pink swirls dissolving into nothing. Just like her pack. Just like her family. Gone. Wiped away by a tide of fire and fury led by one man. One alpha. Kyle Bloodbane. Her village was a secret, tucked away in the deep folds of the Greywood, a haven for the broken and the lost. Rogues, exiles, survivors. They were all running from something. She, however, wasn't running. She was waiting. For what, she didn't know. An ending, perhaps. Peace, her mother would have whispered. But peace was a lie. Her heart was a frozen stone in her chest, and stones didn't feel peace. They only endured. A sudden crash from outside splintered the quiet evening. It wasn't a branch. It wasn't a stray animal. It was heavy. Final. The sound of a body hitting the packed earth with force. The young rogue she'd just mended shot up, his eyes darting to the door of her small hut. Panic rolled off him in waves, a sickly sweet odor that made Seren's stomach clench. Before he could scream, she put a firm hand on his shoulder. Stay quiet. She moved to the door, her hand hovering over the simple wooden latch. Every instinct screamed at her to bar it, to hide, to become the small, terrified girl in the burning longhouse all over again. No. That girl was dead. She had died with her parents. Seren pulled the door open. A man lay sprawled on her doorstep, a ruin of a man, his limbs twisted at unnatural angles. His tunic was a dark, wet map of crimson. He was trying to crawl, his fingers digging useless trenches in the dirt. He lifted his head, one eye swollen shut, the other a desperate pinprick of light. He's coming. The man gurgled, a froth of red at his lips. Seren knelt, her healer's instincts taking over. She reached to check the gash on his side to see if there was anything, anything at all she could do, but then her eyes caught it. On his forearm, seared into the skin with a heat that must have been agonizing, was a brand. It was not a simple sigil. It was a snarling wolf's head, its jaws agape, wreathed in a crown of thorns. A mark of ownership, a symbol of absolute brutal power known throughout the territories. Kale Bloodbane's mark. The stranger's last breath was a sigh. His body went limp. And in the sudden, terrible silence, Seren heard it. Not a whisper on the wind this time. It was the distant, rhythmic tramp of marching feet. The storm had found her door. Chapter 2. The Price of Blood. Chaos erupted. It wasn't a battle. It was a reaping. Warriors poured from the trees, their armor black as a moonless night, their movements silent and predatory. They moved with the chilling efficiency of wolves culling a herd. Screams tore through the village, sharp and then abruptly silenced. There was the smell of smoke as torches met thatch. The fragile piece of their hidden world shattered into a million pieces. Serene didn't run. Running was for the hopeful. She grabbed the sharpest blade she owned, a small knife used for cutting herbs, and flattened herself against the inside wall of her hut. Her heart hammered against her ribs, not with fear, but with a cold, clear hatred that was almost calming. Let them come. Let the monster's dogs come for her. She would take one with her. The door to her hut was kicked in, the wood splintering. Two warriors filled the frame, their eyes glowing with a faint, unnatural light. They saw her instantly. The blade in her hand was a pathetic joke against their size, their armor. One of them laughed, a low, guttural sound. Look what we have here, a little mouse with a thorn. She lunged, a desperate, foolish act of defiance. He caught her wrist with contemptuous ease, his grip like iron. The knife clattered to the floor. He twisted her arm behind her back, the pain sharp and blinding, and shoved her out into the nightmare. Her village was burning. Bodies lay still on the ground. The survivors were being herded like cattle, their faces masks of shock and despair. They were caged, thrown into a large, iron-barred wagon, the metal cold and cruel against their skin. The journey was a blur of jolting movement and silent tears. When they finally stopped, they were in a makeshift camp, the air thick with the smell of sweat, steel, and spilled ale. This was the blood auction, a market where the spoils of war, the survivors, were sold as servants, as labor, as property. Seren was shoved onto a raised wooden platform. The crowd of warriors below leered up at her, their faces illuminated by the flickering torchlight. An auctioneer, a scarred wolf with a missing ear, began the bidding, his voice a gravelly roar. Look at this one. Young, strong, a healer, they say. Good hands for mending a warrior's wounds, eh? What am I bid? She felt nothing. She disconnected her mind from her body, a trick she'd learned long ago. She stared at a point in the dark sky above the jeering faces and thought of nothing. She was a stone. She was ice. They could own her body, but her soul was a barren wasteland they could never touch. The bidding was fierce for a moment, then slowed. The auctioneer was about to slam his gavel. 1,000. The voice cut through the noise of the camp. It was not a shout. It was a low, commanding tone that dripped with absolute authority. Silence fell instantly. Every head turned towards the shadows at the back of the clearing. A figure emerged, stepping into the light. He was tall, broader than any wolf she had ever seen, wrapped in a cloak of black fur. His presence was a physical weight, pressing down on the very air. As he moved closer, the torchlight caught his face. Sharp cheekbones, a jaw that looked carved from granite, and eyes. His eyes were not the gold of a normal wolf. They were the color of molten silver, cold and ancient and utterly terrifying. Serene's breath caught in her throat. The stone in her chest cracked. She knew that face. She saw it every night in her nightmares. The face from the fire. The alpha who had led the charge. The man who had slaughtered her pack. The monster who had orphaned her. The auctioneer stammered, "Sold, to Alpha Bloodbane. Kyle Bloodbane. He owned her now, the man she had vowed to kill if she ever got the chance." His silver eyes met hers across the clearing, and for a fleeting moment, they held not triumph but a flicker of something else, something dark and questioning. He had won his prize, the last living daughter of the Moonblood Pack. Chapter 3. Scent of a Ghost. His stronghold was a wound in the mountainside. It wasn't a castle, it was a fortress, carved from black rock that seemed to drink the light from the sky. Towers clawed at the clouds like skeletal fingers. There were no banners, no signs of life, only the oppressive silence of stone and shadow. This was not a home. It was a tomb for a living king. As Saran was marched through the massive gates, a chill sank into her bones that had nothing to do with the biting wind. The air inside tasted of old secrets and lingering pain. She was taken to the Great Hall, a cavernous space where shadows clung to the high, vaulted ceilings. A fire roared in a hearth big enough to roast a bear, but it offered no warmth, only a writhing, menacing light. Warriors lined the walls, their faces grim and scarred. Not just from battle. There was something else in their eyes, a deep, abiding weariness. As if they were all prisoners here, same as her, she was forced to her knees before the throne. It was a monstrous thing of carved obsidian and iron, shaped like a snarling wolf. And on it sat Kale Bloodbane. He had removed his cloak. He wore simple black leathers that did nothing to hide the raw power coiled in his frame. Up close, he was even more intimidating. A scar, thin and white, cut through his left eyebrow, a tiny imperfection on a face that was otherwise brutally perfect. He stared down at her, his silver eyes holding no recognition at all. To him, she was just another purchase, a piece of property. The thought,
you've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Was both a relief and an insult. What is your name? He asked. His voice was the sound of rocks grinding together. I am a slave. I have no name, she replied, her own voice a stranger to her ears, hollow and defiant. A low murmur went through the assembled warriors. No one spoke to the Alpha that way. Kale's expression didn't change. He simply watched her, his gaze intense, analytical. He was looking for a weakness, a crack in her defiance. She gave him nothing but stone. He rose from the throne. He moved with a liquid grace that was terrifying in a man his size. He descended the steps and stopped just before her, close enough that she could feel the heat radiating from his body, close enough to smell his scent. It was a wild, clean fragrance of pine and winter frost, but underneath it, something else. Something dark and metallic, like ozone before a lightning strike, like blood. Every dog in my kennel has a name, he said, his voice dropping to a low growl. He crouched down, bringing his face level with hers. You will serve me directly. You will tend to my wounds. You will obey my every command. Now tell me your name. She met his silver gaze, and for the first time, she let a sliver of her 10 years of hatred bleed into her eyes. Saren Vale. The name meant nothing to him. But as she said it, a gust of wind from a high window swirled through the hall, carrying her scent directly to him. His body went rigid.
His eyes widened, the silver irises contracting to pinpricks. A low, guttural snarl ripped from his throat, a sound that wasn't entirely human. He stumbled back a step, one hand flying to his temple as if in agony. The warriors in the hall shifted, their hands moving to their weapons, their expressions turning from grim to alarmed. What was happening? Alpha? One of them asked, his voice tight with concern. Kyle didn't answer. His gaze was locked on Saren, but he wasn't seeing her anymore. He was seeing something else. A ghost. A memory his mind had buried, but his wolf. His wolf had not. The curse inside him stirred, awakened by a scent it knew, the scent of a bloodline it had tried to extinguish. He took a shaky step towards her, his face a mask of torment and disbelief. He reached out a hand, not to strike her, but as if to touch a phantom. He whispered, the words a ragged, horrified breath that only she could hear. Why do I feel like I've killed you before? Chapter 4, The Mark of Ruin. Days in the fortress bled into one another, each one a copy of the last, gray, cold, and silent. Saren served Kale his meals,
tended to the nicks and cuts he earned in the training yard, and never, ever spoke unless spoken to. She was a ghost in his halls, and he was a mountain of silent menace. He watched her constantly, his silver eyes filled with that same dark, questioning look she'd seen at the auction. He seemed to be waiting for a memory to surface, a puzzle to solve. She offered him no clues. She gave him nothing but the blank wall of her obedience. But tonight, something was different. A strange tension hung in the air, thick and suffocating, like the stillness before an earthquake. The warriors in the Great Hall were restless, their eyes darting towards the high windows where a full white moon was beginning to rise. They sharpened their blades with unnecessary force. Their knuckles were white where they gripped their ale horns. They were afraid. Then came the scream. It wasn't a sound of pain. It was a roar of pure, inhuman agony, and it came from the Alpha's chambers. It was the sound of a soul being ripped apart. The guards outside his door, massive wolves who feared nothing, were pale and trembling. They wouldn't go in. Their terror was absolute. One of them, the captain, saw Seren. His eyes were desperate. "He will not let anyone near him when the moon is high, but you are his personal servant. Go to him." It wasn't a request. It was an order born of fear. She was being offered up as a sacrifice, her life for their peace of mind. A cold fury settled over her. Fine, let the monster she hated devour her. It would be an ending. She pushed open the heavy oak doors. The room was a wreck. Furniture was splintered into kindling. Tapestries were torn from the walls. And in the center of the room, bathed in a beam of stark moonlight, Kale was on his knees. His body was convulsing, twisting. Bones cracked and reformed with sickening snaps. Black fur sprouted across his skin. His form was caught in a horrifying limbo, not man, not wolf, but a waking nightmare of both. His silver eyes were gone, replaced by glowing pits of red-hot rage. He saw her. The beast saw her. With a snarl that shook the very stones of the floor. He lunged, a blur of black fur and impossibly sharp claws aimed directly at her throat. There was no time to think. No time for fear or hatred or anything but pure, raw instinct. As the monster fell upon her, she threw her hands up, not to block, but to push, to connect. Her palms met his chest. Magic exploded from her. A wave of pure white light, silent and brilliant. It wasn't a force she summoned. It was a thing that lived inside her, a dormant power awakened by his own cursed energy. The beast screamed as her touch connected, a sound of shock, not pain. The raw violence in him just vanished. The red light in his eyes flickered and died. The horrible transformation reversed itself in a wave of cracking bones and shudders. He collapsed at her feet, unconscious, fully human once more. Seren stood panting, her mind reeling. What was that? What had she done? Then a searing, white-hot agony shot up her arm. She cried out, stumbling back. On the delicate skin of her inner wrist, a mark was burning itself into existence. Black lines swirled and solidified under her flesh, forming a pattern that mirrored the brand on his warriors. A snarling wolf's head, wreathed in thorns. It glowed with a faint silver light, a fated mate bond. A magical chain she never wanted, binding her soul to the man who had destroyed it. Chapter 5, A Monster's Truth. He awoke slowly with a deep groan that seemed torn from the center of the earth. Kyle pushed himself up, his muscles trembling with exhaustion. His silver eyes, now clear and startlingly human, darted around the ruined chamber before they landed on her. He saw her pressed against the far wall, her face a mask of shock. Then his gaze dropped to her wrist. He saw the glowing mark. Horror dawned on his face. True. Profound horror. It was a look of utter self-loathing. "What is this?" Serene's voice was a ragged whisper, but it cut through the silence like a shard of glass. The terror had passed, leaving behind a new kind of fury, a violation so deep it had branded her very soul. "What did you do to me?" Kyle staggered to his feet. "I did nothing."
He looked at the mark on her skin as if it were a venomous snake. This is the curse. Lies! She spat, her hatred a living thing inside her. You are the curse! You are the monster! Yes! He roared, and the sound was filled with such agony that it stunned her into silence. He drove a fist into the stone wall, the impact echoing like a thunderclap. He didn't even flinch. I am, but not in the way you think. He turned to face her, and the alpha was gone. In his place was a man being eaten alive by his own past. That night, 10 years ago, he began, his voice cracking. The moon was the same. A spirit of vengeance, an ancient wolf spirit, was summoned by my enemies to destroy me. It found a crack in my soul and it entered me. I was possessed, a passenger in my own body, forced to watch through my own eyes. Seren stood frozen, every part of her wanting to scream that he was a liar, that this was some trick. But the raw pain in his voice, the self-hatred burning in his eyes, it was real. I fought it, he continued, his voice dropping to a tormented whisper. I swear to you, I tried to stop, but my hands were not my own. My wolf was not my own. It was a storm of fire and blood and rage, and I watched it all. He finally looked at her, his silver eyes swimming with a decade of unshed grief. Your pack, the Moonblood Pack. He choked on the words. The children, your parents. I remember their faces. I remember everything. The air left Serene's lungs. The floor seemed to tilt beneath her feet. The monster she had hated for a decade, the faceless tyrant, was giving her the one thing she never expected. Not an excuse, a confession. It was me, he whispered, the words finally breaking free. My hands, my teeth, my fault. And every moment since I have lived with their ghosts. The truth was a poison, more devastating than any lie. The neat lines of her hatred, the simple story of a monster and his victim, had just been shattered. Before her stood not just the man who had killed her family, but a man who was also a victim of the same darkness. And now, some cruel twist of fate had chained her to him. She looked at him, at the monster and the man, and felt a single terrible vow rise from the ashes of her heart. I won't kill you, she said, her voice shaking with the force of her newfound purpose. That's too easy. I will make you feel every single moment of the pain you caused me. Chapter 6. The Gilded Cage. An unbearable silence descended upon the fortress. For 3 days, Seren did not see him. She was moved from her servants' quarters to a larger, more comfortable room, but it felt more like a cage, a gilded cage. The mark on her wrist had faded to a dull black tattoo, but she could feel it, a constant, low hum beneath her skin, a phantom connection that made her feel watched even when she was alone. She tried to scrub it off until her skin was raw, but it was a part of her now. He had made it a part of her. She felt his presence in the castle like a change in the air pressure, a distant rumble of thunder. When he was angry, she felt a flicker of heat in her own chest. When he was in the training yard, she could almost feel the phantom ache of his muscles. It was maddening. It was a violation. On the 4th day, she was summoned. She found him in the great hall, standing before the fire. He was dressed in his black armor again, the plates gleaming in the firelight. The tormented man from that night was gone, locked away behind the cold, impassive mask of the Alpha. Only his eyes, when they met hers, held a trace of the storm within. The mark, he said, his voice flat and devoid of emotion. It connects us. My curse recognizes your light. When I lost control, your touch was able to contain the beast. Do not pretend this is a gift, she shot back, her arms crossed over her chest. It's a brand, a chain. It is a weapon, he corrected her, his tone sharp. And it is the only one we have against this darkness that lives inside me. The Council of Alphas wants to see me destroyed,
My rivals want my territory. They all watch, waiting for the curse to finally consume me. They cannot be allowed to win. Seren stared at him, a cold dread creeping up her spine. She knew where this was going. "You are the key," he stated, his silver eyes pinning her in place. "Your presence soothes the wolf. Your touch can pull it back from the brink." "No," she whispered. The word was a puff of air, full of defiance, but utterly powerless. He took a step towards her, his shadow swallowing her whole. "This is not a request, Seren. It is a necessity, for the survival of this pack, for my own sanity." He stopped before her, the very air crackling with his authority. He delivered her sentence. "You will remain by my side, at all times. You will eat with me, walk with me, and stand by my throne. The world will see you as my favored servant. They will not know that you are my jailer." Her world shrank to the space between them, to be near him always, to feel his presence, his emotions, his darkness, as if they were her own. It was a form of torture more exquisite than any blade. "I will not," she said, though the words tasted like ash. "You will," he countered, his voice absolute. Outside, the sky had turned a bruised purple. Thunder rumbled in the distance, a low, angry growl, as the first drops of rain began to streak down the high windows of the hall. A storm broke free. And at that exact moment, Seren put a trembling hand to her own chest. She felt it. A soft, rhythmic thudding beneath her palm, right next to her own frantic pulse. It wasn't hers. It was stronger, slower, steadier. It was his heartbeat, echoing inside her own body. Chapter 7, The Scars of the King. Life as Kael's shadow was a special kind of hell. Seren stood by his throne during tedious court disputes, walked 3 paces behind him through the cold stone halls, and sat at a small table near his during silent, grim meals. She was a fixture, a symbol, his favored pet. The pack wolves looked at her with a mixture of fear and pity. She was the alpha's property, forever tied to his moods. They did not know the truth, that the chain was wrapped around both their necks. She felt the constant, low-level thrum of his presence, a phantom limb she could never ignore. In this suffocating closeness, she began to see things. She saw the thin, silvery scar that cut through the eyebrow of the head cook. She noticed the way the kennel master favored his left leg, an old, poorly healed wound that had nothing to do with any dog bite. She watched a young serving girl flinch and pull down her sleeve when Kael's voice rose, hiding a familiar pattern of claw marks on her arm. They were all scarred. Every wolf in this fortress wore a physical memory of their alpha's curse. His lack of control was a tapestry of pain woven into the very fabric of his pack. They were his subjects and his victims. The realization didn't soften her hatred, but it complicated it, adding a strange, unwelcome layer of understanding. He wasn't just her monster. He was a plague upon his own people. One night, sleep was a distant shore she couldn't reach. The bond was a restless wire inside her, humming with a low, grating agony that was not her own. It was him. He was in pain. Unable to lie still any longer, she rose from her bed and followed the pull, a moth drawn to a flame she knew would burn her. The feeling led her down winding stairs to the bleak chill of the armory. A single torch cast dancing, monstrous shadows on the walls. The air smelled of cold steel, oil, and fresh blood. She peered around a rack of swords and saw him. Kael stood in the center of the room, his back to her. He was shirtless, and in the flickering light, she saw that his entire back was a testament to a lifetime of violence, a crisscrossing roadmap of scars, old and new, pale white and angry red. He held a leather strap in his hand. It wasn't a simple whip. She could see the glint of silver shards embedded in the leather. As she watched, frozen in the shadows, he raised the weapon. His muscles bunched, his jaw tight with effort.
He brought the whip down across his own shoulders with a sickening crack. A fresh line of crimson welled up, joining the constellation of old wounds. He didn't make a sound. His body shuddered with the impact, but no cry of pain escaped his lips. He was punishing himself, atoning for sins only he could name, in the only way a creature of violence knew how. He was trying to beat the monster out of his own skin. Saren pressed a hand to her mouth, stifling a gasp. This was his secret. This was the source of the agony she felt through the bond. The great, terrible Alpha Bloodbane was his own most brutal captive. And the stone in her chest, the one she had nurtured for 10 years, felt a tiny, painful crack. Chapter 8. A Whisper in the Blood. Her first instinct was to flee, to run back to her room and pretend she hadn't seen this raw, pathetic display of self-hatred. He deserved this pain. He deserved 1,000 times more for what he did. Her mind screamed it. Let him suffer. But the healer in her, the stubborn, compassionate ghost of the girl she used to be, cried out at the sight of the wound and the bond. The bond thrummed with his agony, a sharp, sympathetic sting that resonated deep in her own soul. It was unbearable. Hating him was one thing, sharing his self-inflicted torment was another. She stepped out from behind the rack of swords. The scrape of her boot on the stone floor was a gunshot in the silence. Kyle whirled around, his movement impossibly fast. He snarled, a feral sound of a cornered animal, his silver eyes wide with shock and fury. He snatched his shirt from the floor, trying to hide his scarred back, to hide his shame. Get out, he roared, his voice echoing in the cavernous room. Saren stood her ground. You are bleeding, she said, her voice surprisingly steady. It is nothing, he bit out, his jaw clenched. It will fester if it's not cleaned. The silver, she said, taking a hesitant step forward. It will poison you. I said, get out. No. The word was quiet, but it held the unyielding authority of her bloodline, the authority of a healer before a patient. You will sit down, now. He stared at her, his chest heaving. A war was being fought behind his eyes, the Alpha's pride against the man's exhaustion. For a long, tense moment, she thought he would lunge, that he would tear her apart for seeing him so weak. But then, with a shuddering breath that sounded almost like a sob, his shoulders slumped. The fight went out of him. He sank onto a wooden bench, his back still to her, a silent admission of defeat. She approached him cautiously, her heart hammering. She took a clean cloth from a nearby table, dipped it in a basin of water, and gently, so gently, began to clean the fresh wound. He flinched at her touch, his entire body going rigid. The skin of his back was hot, alive with tension. She worked in silence, her movements deft and sure. She could feel the shudders that racked his body, the tight control he was exerting to not pull away. The hatred was still there, a coiled serpent in her gut, but something else was rising alongside it. Pity. A dangerous, unwelcome pity. She finished cleaning the gash and reached for a pot of salve. She scooped a small amount onto her fingers and hesitated for a fraction of a second before pressing her palm flat against his skin to work it in. A jolt, hot, sharp, and electric, shot through them both. It was not magic. It was something more primal, a current of pure life. Kale gasped, his head snapping up. Saren snatched her hand back as if she'd been burned. The air between them crackled, thick with a sudden, suffocating heat. The bond flared, no longer a hum, but a singing, vibrant chord. And in the ringing silence that followed, a voice echoed. Not in the room, but directly inside her head. It was not Kale's voice. It was deeper, wilder, ancient, a rasp of gravel and thunder. Saren. It was his wolf. And it had just whispered her name. Chapter 9. The Taste of Salvation. The uneasy truce in the armory was shattered by the threat of war. Scouts returned with grim news. The Skarsnaut pack, a rabid clan known for their brutality, were massing at the northern border. They were testing the defenses, looking for weakness, looking for an excuse to spill blood. The fortress transformed overnight. The lazy tension was replaced by a sharp, metallic hum of readiness. Kale was no longer the tormented man in the shadows. He was the Alpha. He moved with a cold, lethal purpose, issuing commands, planning patrols, his voice a low growl that demanded instant obedience. Seren stood by his side through it all, a silent sentinel. But now, the bond fed her more than just his pain. She felt his focus, his strategic mind, his cold, coiling readiness for the violence to come. It was terrifying. It was captivating. The attack came at sunset. It wasn't a siege. It was an ambush. The Skarsnaut swarmed a patrol just beyond the main gate, a savage, chaotic assault designed to draw the Alpha out. And it worked. Kale let out a roar that was pure predator and led the countercharge himself, a black-clad whirlwind of death. Seren watched from the high battlements, her hands gripping the cold stone. The battle below was a maelstrom of dark fur and flashing steel. It was brutal, primal, and she couldn't look away. She saw Kale fighting, and he was magnificent, a terrible, beautiful force of nature. Then she saw the opening. A massive Skarsnaut warrior, his face a mask of ritualistic scars, broke through Kale's flank. He wasn't charging the Alpha. His eyes, burning with mad fury, were locked higher, on the battlements, on her. "Kale!" she screamed, her voice raw with a terror that surprised her. He turned, following her gaze. But it was too late. The Skarsnaut warrior was already scrambling up the rock face, moving with unnatural speed. Kale moved faster. A black blur of motion, he threw himself back towards the wall, placing his body directly between Seren and the attacker. He became her shield. The Skarsnaut's claws, laced with the dull gleam of silver, slashed through the air. They tore across Kale's chest, ripping through leather and flesh. Kale roared, a sound of pure agony, and swatted the warrior from the wall like a fly. He stumbled back, clutching his chest, a dark smoking gash weeping blood onto the stones. He collapsed to one knee, his breath coming in ragged gasps. Seren was at his side in an instant. The silver poison was working fast, a black web spreading from the wound, fighting his natural healing. His life was draining out of him, the light in his silver eyes beginning to fade. Panic, cold, and absolute seized her. The thought of this man, this monster, this king, this tormented soul, dying. It was an agony she couldn't bear. The world without him in it felt suddenly, terrifyingly empty. She didn't know what she was doing. It wasn't a thought. It was an instinct, ancient and undeniable. She cradled his face in her hands, leaned down, and pressed her lips to his. It was not a kiss of romance. It was a kiss of desperation, a frantic plea to the life force in him not to leave. It was the taste of blood and ozone and something wilder. Magic, raw and untamed, arced between them. A jolt of pure energy, her light pouring into his darkness. Kale's eyes, which had been closing, snapped wide open. They stared into hers, filled with shock and a dawning, hungry fire. The bond between them didn't just flare, it ignited. And in that moment, she knew she had just saved the life of the man she was supposed to hate, and lost herself completely. Chapter 10, The Poisoned Gift. The fortress buzzed with whispers. After the battle, after the kiss, everything had changed. The way the pack looked at her was different now. She was no longer just the Alpha's pet, but something more, something powerful, a weapon, or a miracle. Kale, too, was changed. The distance between them had collapsed into a space of crackling, unspoken tension. He would watch her across the great hall, his silver eyes burning with a hunger and a fear she was beginning to understand. The bond, now fully awake, was a roaring river in her veins, carrying his emotions, his desires, his darkness, crashing against the shores of her own heart. Peace, however, was a fleeting thing. The next full moon rose in the sky like a skull, pale and ominous. Kale tried to fight it, He had himself chained in the dungeon, the cold iron meant to hold the beast at bay. But the curse was stronger now, angrier. It was as if Serene's light having touched it had made the darkness more desperate. From her chambers, she felt his agony as if it were her own. It was a symphony of torment. Bones grinding, muscles tearing, a mind splintering under the strain. She clutched her head, sweat beating on her brow, the phantom pain bringing her to her knees. She could not let him endure it alone. Not anymore. She found him in the dungeon, a mess of strained sinew and guttural roars fighting against his chains. The transformation was happening slow and agonizing. He saw her in the doorway, and his eyes, flickering between silver and red, widened in terror. "Stay back," he growled, the words half-human, half-beast. "Seren, go." But she didn't listen. She walked towards him, her steps steady even as her body trembled. She remembered the feeling from the armory, the spark when she touched him. She remembered the kiss. This time, it would not be an accident. "I can help you," she whispered. She reached out her hands, not to his skin, but to the air around him. She closed her eyes and focused on the pain, that ugly, writhing thing she could feel through the bond. She didn't just touch it. She pulled. With a deep breath, she drew the agony out of him and into herself. It felt like swallowing black ice and burning embers. A wave of freezing, fiery torment crashed through her body. The curse's pain was ancient, vicious, and utterly cold. She gasped, a strangled cry escaping her lips as the darkness flooded her. But she saw Kale. His convulsions stopped. The red light faded from his eyes. The chains fell slack as the beast receded, leaving the man panting and clear-headed. He saw her. He saw her collapse against the wall, her face chalk white, a thin trickle of blood running from her nose. In an instant, he shattered his chains and was at her side, gathering her into his arms. The look on his face was not relief. It was pure, frantic terror. He held her as if she were made of glass. "What did you do?" he demanded, his voice shaking. "I took the pain," she breathed, her limbs feeling heavy as lead. His grip on her tightened. "Never," he snarled, his eyes blazing with a fierce protective light. "Do you hear me, Seren? Never do that again. I would rather let this curse rip me to shreds than watch it poison you." She looked up at him, into the eyes of the man who was terrified of losing her. And she understood. She was his only salvation. But he valued her life far more than he valued his own. Chapter 11. The Alpha's Gambit. In the days that followed, Kyle was a ghost. He was cold, distant, building the walls around himself higher than ever before. He posted guards outside her door, not to keep her in, but to keep himself out. When they were forced to be in the same room, he wouldn't meet her eyes. The bond, however, told her the truth. It pulsed with his constant, agonizing fear. But she didn't understand. She thought it was fear of her, of their connection. His rejection was a fresh wound atop a decade of old scars. She was in the castle library, trying to lose herself in old texts, when the Beta found her. Riker was an old wolf, his face a roadmap of loyalty and hard-won battles. He moved with a quiet gravity. "He is a fool," Riker said, his voice a low rumble. He stood in the doorway watching her. "He thinks by pushing you away, he is protecting you. He is only breaking you both." "I don't know what you mean," Serene lied, turning a page she hadn't read. "I have served him since he was a pup," the Beta continued, ignoring her dismissal. "I was there the night the curse took him, and I was there when he learned what it had cost him. What it had cost you." Riker walked further into the room. "I am breaking a direct order by telling you this, but loyalty to my Alpha means saving him from himself." Seren finally looked up, her heart beginning to pound. "The Council of Alphas," Riker said, his voice grim. "They are old, paranoid. They have a law against what they call unstable bloodlines. When Kale's curse manifested, they marked him for death. They were planning to hunt him down,
to execute him and absorb his territory. This, she had suspected, it was the way of the Alphas. But then, Riker's eyes grew dark. Their seers discovered something else, a secret. They learned that a single healer from the Moonblood line had survived the massacre, a young woman with the power to soothe the wolf spirit, to purify a bloodline. He paused, letting the weight of his words sink in. They were going to find you, Seren. They were going to take you, lock you away in their citadel, and use you like a magical battery until you were a dried-up husk. Your life meant nothing to them. Only your power. The book slipped from Seren's fingers. Kale found out about their plan, Riker said, his voice softening. He was trapped. If he tried to hide you, they would find you. If he fought them, they would overwhelm him and take you anyway. He had only one move. One way to protect you under the ancient laws. He had to possess you first, publicly, indisputably. The blood auction, the cruelty, the chains. It wasn't an act of malice, Riker whispered. It was the only way he could keep you safe. He claimed you to save you from them. He painted himself as a monster to the world to hide the fact that he was protecting the only thing he had left to care about. The world tilted on its axis. Every moment of her captivity, every cold word, every harsh command, it was all a lie. A desperate, sacrificial gambit. He wasn't her captor. He was her shield. That night, she went to him. She didn't knock. She walked into his chambers and found him staring into the fire, the weight of the world on his shoulders. He turned, his eyes widening as she approached. She didn't say a word. She just reached up and touched the scar over his eye. He flinched, but didn't pull away. All the questions, all the pain, all the years of hatred and misunderstanding were in that single touch. He saw in her eyes that she knew. With a choked sound that was half sob, half growl, he pulled her to him. The walls between them didn't just crumble, they exploded. All the pent-up fear, the secret sacrifice, the forbidden desire, erupted in a single, desperate kiss. It was a kiss of ruin and redemption, of forgiveness and flame. It was the taste of a love that had been born in ashes, and it consumed them both. Chapter 12. The Council's Price. For the first time since she was a child, Seren felt a glimmer of peace. Waking in Kale's arms, with the steady, comforting beat of his heart against her back, felt more like home than any place she had ever known. The lies were gone. The hatred was a ghost. All that remained was a fragile, tender hope, nurtured in the quiet space between them. The bond was no longer a chain, but a silken ribbon, tying them together, humming a soft, contented song. Later that day, she walked alone in the fortress's small walled garden. The sun was warm on her skin. She could feel Kale's presence in the keep, a steady warmth at the back of her mind. For a moment, just one perfect moment, everything was right. Then the world went cold. The sunlight dimmed as if a cloud had passed over it, but the sky was clear. The cheerful sound of birdsong died, replaced by a sudden, profound silence. The air grew heavy, thick with the scent of dust and old, sterile magic. The shadows of the trees stretched, twisting into unnatural, elongated shapes. She was not alone. Three figures stood at the far end of the garden. They hadn't been there a second ago. They wore simple gray cloaks that absorbed the light, their faces completely hidden in the deep hoods. They were perfectly still, yet their presence screamed with power. The last daughter of the Moonblood, a voice echoed, not through the air, but directly inside her head. It was a cold, composite voice, devoid of all emotion. Seren froze, her blood turning to ice. The Council. Alpha Bloodbane has kept you like a treasure, the voice continued. But you are not his to keep. Your power is a gift to all shifter kind. It belongs to us. She tried to scream for Kale. She reached for him through the bond, a frantic, silent cry for help. As her panic surged,
she felt a wall of ice slam down between them. The connection, the warm, steady presence that had become her anchor, was severed. The sudden, absolute silence in her mind was an agony worse than any physical pain. "No!" she cried out loud, stumbling back. "His protection is an illusion," the voices whispered in her mind. "Come with us. Your purpose awaits." "Stay away from me!" Her panic erupted. The power inside her, the light she had used to soothe Kale's curse, burst forth in a wild, uncontrolled storm. A wave of white energy blasted from her, ripping through the garden. Roses turned to ash. A stone bench cracked in two. The power was a raw, terrified thing, lashing out at the figures who had stolen her connection to Kyle. The three council members didn't even flinch. They raised their hands in unison. A net of shimmering silver energy appeared between them. It flew towards her, not to harm, but to contain, to suffocate. As the magical net closed around her, her power sputtered and died, smothered by their cold, calculated magic. Her strength drained away, leaving her weak and helpless. The last thing she saw before the darkness took her was the gray cloaks closing in, their purpose absolute, their methods chillingly efficient. Miles away, in the middle of a war council, Kyle felt it. One moment, Seren's peaceful hum was a song in his blood. The next, a screech of tearing metal, a wall of ice, and then nothing. Silence. The bond was broken. She was gone. A roar of pure, primal rage tore from his throat, a sound of such loss and fury that the stone walls around him trembled. It was not the sound of the curse, it was the sound of a man whose soul had just been ripped out, and he would burn the entire world to the ground to get it back. Chapter 13. To Burn the World. The silence was the thing. It was a hollow space in his chest where her heartbeat used to be, a void in his soul where the warm hum of her presence had lived. One moment, she was a song in his blood. The next, a scream of tearing metal, and then nothing. The bond had not faded. It had been severed, amputated. Kyle stood in his war room, the phantom limb of their connection twitching with an agony that made no sound. His pack looked at him, their faces etched with concern. Riker, his loyal beta, took a cautious step forward. "Alpha, what is it? What's wrong?" Kale turned his head slowly, and the man who looked at his pack was not their king. The calculating Alpha was gone. In his place was something cold, ancient, and utterly focused. His rage was not a hot, explosive thing. It was a glacier, immense and unstoppable, carving a path of absolute destruction. "The council has her," he said, his voice a low, chilling whisper that promised violence. "We will plan an assault," Riker began, his strategic mind already turning. "We will gather our allies, find their location." "No." The word was final. It was the sound of a tomb door closing. Kyle unstrapped the heavy mantle of his office, the black fur cloak marked with the Alpha's sigil, and let it fall to the floor. "There is no we. The pack cannot go to war with the council. You would be annihilated." He looked at his beta, his oldest friend. "Riker, you are Alpha now. Protect our people." Panic flared in Riker's eyes. "Kale, you cannot do this. To abandon your throne, your duty." "My duty," Kale interrupted, his voice dropping even lower, "is to her." He was no longer a king. A king had a kingdom to consider. He was just a male whose mate had been stolen. And for that, he would burn the world. He walked out of his fortress alone, a ghost leaving his own life behind. He carried no banner, only a bag with blades and a cold fire in his heart. He moved through the underworld of shifter society, a place of assassins, information brokers, and disgraced rogues. He paid in blood, in favors, in promises he had no intention of keeping. He followed a trail of whispers to the council's hidden prison, the Citadel, a fortress carved into the heart of a dead mountain, its very stones enchanted to dampen a wolf's power.
Infiltration was a bloody, silent dance in the dark. He moved through the Citadel's corridors like a wraith, his wolf suppressed by the wards, forcing him to rely on pure human cunning and a lifetime of violence. The guards were efficient, but they were used to guarding prisoners, not repelling a vengeful god. He found her scent, faint, tinged with fear and cold magic, and followed it to the lowest level, to a single rune-scribed door. The magical lock glowed, a web of purple energy. He didn't try to pick it. He didn't try to disable it. He slammed his shoulder into the stone beside the frame, again and again, the raw, brutal force of his body against the unyielding mountain until something gave. The stone cracked. The door groaned inwards. She was inside, huddled on a stone slab. Pale, weak, a phantom of the vibrant woman he loved. But she was alive. Her head snapped up, her eyes widening in disbelief. The moment he crossed the threshold, the bond, suppressed but not broken, flared back to life between them, a torrent of relief so powerful it almost brought him to his knees. He crossed the cell in two strides. He dropped to one knee before her, his quest complete. She stared at him, her lips parted in a silent question. How? Why? He reached out, his hand trembling slightly as he cupped her cheek. I am not your alpha, he whispered, his voice thick with an emotion he hadn't allowed himself to feel until now. I am not a king. I am just the man who came for you. He looked into her eyes, making his vow, his point of no return. If I lose everything, let it be for you. Chapter 14, The Merging of Souls. The feeling of the bond snapping back into place was a physical sensation, a dam bursting, a flood of warmth and life and him pouring into the Arctic wasteland of her soul. For days, she had been in absolute silence, a cold, sterile prison of the mind. Now, Kyle was here. The sheer, impossible reality of it made her dizzy. He had come for her. He had given up everything. Kale, she breathed, her voice cracking as she threw her arms around him. He held her tight, a solid, living anchor in a world that had dissolved into nightmares. But their reunion was cut short by the scream of an alarm, a high, magical shriek that echoed through the Citadel. We have to go, he said, pulling her to her feet. Now! Their escape was a frantic, desperate flight through the twisting catacombs of the prison. The air was thick with the hum of gathering magic. Shouts echoed behind them. They were no longer fighting guards. They were fighting sentinels, the elite magic-wielding enforcers of the Council. They rounded a corner and came to a dead end. A massive circular door of obsidian blocked their path, the entire surface covered in glowing, pulsating runes. A curse ward. It pulsed with a sickly purple light, and Seren could feel its intent. It was a trap, tuned specifically to Kale's corrupted bloodline. Stand back, he ordered, his body shifting into a defensive stance. Don't, she cried. Kyle, it's designed for you. He ignored her. He slammed his fist into the center of the door. The ward exploded with light. Purple tendrils of energy shot out, wrapping around him like spectral chains. He roared in agony as the magic poured into him, not to harm him, but to supercharge his curse. It was trying to force the beast out, to make him lose control in this confined space. He fought it, his muscles straining, veins standing out on his neck. His eyes began to flicker, silver, then red, silver, then red. He was losing. The curse was too strong, fed by the Council's dark magic. Serene watched, her heart seizing with terror. She wouldn't lose him again. Not now. She made a choice. It wasn't a decision of the mind, but a command from her very soul. She ran to him, pressing her hands flat against his chest, right over the smoking wound from the ward. She closed her eyes. She didn't just pull the pain this time. She didn't just absorb the excess energy. She opened the floodgates. She welcomed the darkness in. With a silent scream that was felt and not heard,
She pulled the entirety of the ward's curse magic into herself. It was a torrent of vile, ancient power, a river of shadows and rage. But her light, her moonblood essence, did not destroy it. It met the darkness, surrounded it, and merged with it. Ice and fire, shadow and light. Her soul became a crucible, fusing the two forces into something new, something powerful and terrifying. The ward on the door shattered into a million pieces of fading light. Kyle collapsed against her, the pressure gone, his mind clear. He looked at her, panting, a question on his lips. But it died when he saw her eyes. She stumbled back, a wave of vertigo washing over her. She felt different, changed. The world looked sharper, the colors more vivid, the shadows deeper. She lifted a trembling hand to her face. Kyle was staring at her, his expression one of awe and absolute horror. "Seren," he whispered. "Your eyes." She caught her reflection in the polished surface of a fallen sentinel's blade. The warm human brown of her eyes was gone. In their place were two pools of liquid, glowing silver. The color of the moon. The color of his. Her light had not conquered his darkness. It had married it. Chapter 15. The Price of a Secret. They ran. They didn't stop until the dead mountain of the citadel was a jagged tooth on the horizon and the scent of the wild woods surrounded them. They were fugitives, with nothing but the clothes on their backs and a bond that now hummed with a strange new harmony of light and shadow. Kale found them a small hidden cave behind a waterfall, a curtain of water shielding them from the world. He was quiet, his movements gentle as he tended to the scrapes she'd gotten during their escape, but he couldn't stop looking at her eyes. He would meet her gaze, and a flicker of awe and terror would pass over his face before he looked away. She had saved him, but in doing so, she had become something he didn't quite recognize, something more than human. "I can feel it," she whispered, her voice sounding strange to her own ears. "The curse, your wolf, it's quiet. It's not gone, but it's sleeping." "You took it," he said, his voice thick with reverence. "You took the worst of it into yourself." He reached out and gently touched her cheek. "What have I done to you?" Before she could answer, a voice echoed through the forest. It was not a natural sound. It was magically amplified, carrying on the wind, clear and cold as a funeral bell. It was the voice of the council. But they weren't speaking to them. They were broadcasting a message to every pack, to every alpha, to the entire world. A shimmering image appeared in the curtain of the waterfall, a magical projection. It showed the council's high chamber, and standing before them, his face grim and set in stone, was Riker, Kale's beta, her Kale's oldest friend. "Alphas of the territories," Riker's voice boomed, laced with a sorrow that looked sickeningly genuine. "I come before you today with a heavy heart to confess the sins of my alpha, Kale Bloodbane." Kale shot to his feet, his body rigid with disbelief. "Riker, no." "For a decade," Riker continued, his projected image looking out at an unseen audience, "we have believed him to be cursed. We were wrong. The curse was a lie he crafted to hide his own ambition." Riker's voice broke with false emotion. "He was never possessed. He slaughtered the Moonblood Pack in cold blood, seeking to steal their legendary healing powers for himself. He failed, but in his madness, he found the last survivor, the healer, Seren Vale." The world began to spin. Seren stared at the image of the man who had told her the truth, now telling a lie that cut deeper than any blade. "She is not his mate," Riker declared. "She is his captive, her mind twisted by his charisma and his lies. He uses her power to suppress his own inner demons, a tool for his dark ambitions. He is not a victim. He is a monster." No, it couldn't be true. The man who had sacrificed his throne, the man who had whispered, "Let it be for you," he couldn't be that person. But the old wound,
the deep, foundational trauma of her childhood ripped open. The sight of her burning village, the screams. What if Riker was right? What if Kale's confession of being a victim was the greatest lie of all? Doubt, a black and venomous serpent, sank its fangs into her heart. Kale looked at her, saw the flicker of uncertainty in her new silver eyes, and his face crumpled with a despair so profound it was like a physical blow. The bond between them, so recently reforged, fractured under the weight of her doubt. "Seren," he started, his voice a broken plea. But it was too late. The council's dispassionate voice cut through the air, delivering its final judgment to the world. For his crimes against shifter kind, Kale Bloodbane is marked a traitor to be hunted on sight. And for consorting with this darkness and harboring a power she cannot control, the witch Seren Vale is hereby sentenced to death by purification. Chapter 16, The Alpha's Bow. The cave was a tomb. The sound of the waterfall, once a soothing curtain, now felt like the roaring in her own ears. Doubt was a poison, and it had paralyzed her. Kale tried to speak, his voice desperate, trying to explain Riker's betrayal, but his words were a distant buzzing. All she could see was her family's pyre. All she could hear were their screams. Was his confession a lie? Was his sacrifice a manipulation? The bond between them was a raw, aching nerve, transmitting his pain and her confusion in a nauseating loop. "Seren, look at me," he pleaded, his hands hovering as if he were afraid to touch her. "Whatever he said, whatever they showed you, it's not the truth." "What is the truth, Kale?" she whispered, her new silver eyes shimmering with tears she refused to let fall. "I don't know what to believe anymore." They didn't have time for her broken heart. The distant baying of hounds reached them, a sound carried on the wind. They were being hunted. The entire world was now their enemy. "We can't outrun them all," Kale said, his face hardening as he made a decision. The time for pleading was over. His expression shifted to one of grim resolve. "They want me. This ends now." "What are you doing?" she asked, a new kind of fear, the fear of his intent, cutting through her confusion. "I am ending their hunt," he said. He took her hand, his grip firm and warm, a stark contrast to the cold dread filling her. "Live, Seren. Be free. That's all I ever wanted." He led her from the cave, out into the open forest. Within moments, they were surrounded. Council sentinels melted from the trees, their gray cloaks making them seem like specters. They formed a silent, closing circle, their hands glowing with cold, suppressive magic. Seren's power fizzled in her veins, useless. She and Kale stood back to back, the end of their desperate flight at hand. She drew a shaky breath, ready to fight, ready to die beside him. But Kale stepped forward. He raised his hands, palms open, a universal sign of surrender. The sentinels stopped, their surprise a tangible thing in the air. The High Elder of the Council appeared from the ranks, their face a mask of cold triumph. "Kale Bloodbane," the Elder's voice echoed in her mind. "You have nowhere left to run." "I am not running," Kale said, his voice clear and strong. He went to one knee, bowing his head. The Alpha, the King, the proudest, most powerful man she had ever known, kneeling in the dirt. "I surrender myself to your judgment. I will answer for all my crimes, real and imagined." He paused, his voice dropping. "All I ask is that you honor your word. Seren Vale is innocent. Her pardon is absolute. Let her go, and I am yours." He looked back at her then, over his shoulder. The doubt, the poison, the lies, it all evaporated in the face of the raw, selfless love in his eyes. He wasn't a monster. He wasn't a manipulator. He was a man making the ultimate sacrifice. His gaze held hers as he spoke the words that would forever be seared into her soul. "You were never mine to own," he whispered, his voice for her alone. "I was always yours to forgive." The sentinels closed in, chaining his wrists with shackles that glowed with a sickening light. They led him away, and he did not look back.
She was left standing alone in the forest, free and more broken than she had ever been in her life. Chapter 17, The Strength of Mercy. Her freedom was a lie. She was escorted back to the Citadel, a guest in the Viper's Nest. They gave her a lavish room, fine clothes, and exquisite food. They treated her with a cloying, false reverence, calling her the Great Moonblood Healer. All while they prepared to destroy the man who had bought her this gilded cage with his own body. She was made to attend his trial. It was a farce, a piece of political theater held in a grand, cold hall. Kale stood chained in the center, silent and proud. He did not offer a defense. He did not deny the accusations. One by one, alphas loyal to the council came forward with falsified stories of his aggression. Riker was the final witness, his performance of a betrayed, heartbroken beta so convincing that the crowd wept for him. He spun a tale of Kale's pure, unprovoked evil, and Seren's heart filled with a hatred so pure it was a physical sickness. She watched Kale through it all. His gaze would occasionally find hers, and in them, she saw no fear. Only a calm reassurance, a silent message. It's all right. You are safe. The verdict was a foregone conclusion. For his crimes against the natural order, the High Elder pronounced, the Alpha Kale Bloodbane is sentenced to purification by torture, followed by the unmaking of his spirit. They dragged him from the hall, and she was escorted to a high balcony overlooking the Citadel's main ceremonial chamber. She was being forced to watch. It was part of her punishment, and his. He was chained to the floor, spread-eagled on a massive stone seal. The council members surrounded him, their hands glowing. They began the torture. They didn't use whips or blades. They used magic to ignite his nerves with phantom fire, to show him visions of his deepest failures, to amplify the curse's whispers in his mind. They were trying to break him, to force the beast to the surface so they could slay it for a cheering crowd. His screams were silent, but she felt every one of them through the ghost of their bond. She clutched the stone railing, her knuckles white, a lust for vengeance burning through her veins. She wanted to descend on them like a goddess of wrath. She wanted to turn her light into a fire that would burn them all to ash. In her rage and helplessness, she squeezed her eyes shut. She didn't pray for help. She prayed for power. Moon goddess. She pleaded into the darkness of her own mind. Lend me your strength. Give me the power to destroy them, to make them feel this pain. The answer was not a boom of thunder. It was a soft, clear whisper in the depths of her soul, as gentle and certain as the rising tide. Vengeance is their power, little wolf. It is the chain they use to bind the world. Mercy is the only force that can break it. The words washed over her, extinguishing the fire of her hatred. Mercy? Forgiveness? For them? For Riker? It was impossible. It was weak. No, the voice whispered again. It is the hardest path. It is the only true strength. And then, a final gentle command that changed everything. Then, forgive. She opened her eyes and looked at Kale. His body was convulsing, but his spirit was unbroken. And she understood. To answer their violence with more violence was to lose. The only way to win was to choose a different path. But it was too late. He was already lost. Chapter 18, The Light of Ash. The torture ceased. Kyle lay broken on the stone, his breath a shallow rasp. His magnificent body was limp, but he was alive. A flicker of hope, foolish and fragile, sparked in Seren's chest. Maybe they would show mercy. Maybe they would spare him. The High Elder of the Council glided to the center of the chamber, their movements smooth and serene. Their hands began to glow, not with the purple energy of the curse ward, nor the angry red of the torture spells. This was a light of blinding, terrifying purity, a white-hot energy that promised not pain, but oblivion. The stain of the Bloodbane curse has plagued our people for too long, the Elder's voice announced, calm and righteous. Today we perform not an execution, but a purification. We will unmake the shadow so that only light remains. No, Seren screamed, her voice tearing from her throat. Stop, you don't understand. but her cries were lost in the cavernous hall. Wards, invisible and absolute, held her in place, silenced her power. She was a spectator at the end of her world. The High Elder placed their glowing hands upon Kale's chest. The white light engulfed him. It did not burn him, it consumed him. Kale did not scream. He did not fight. Through the blinding glare, his head turned, his gaze finding her on the balcony one last, impossible time. The agony was gone from his face. All the pain, the guilt, the torment of his life seemed to melt away in that final instant. A small, peaceful smile touched his lips. It was a look of release, of freedom. His body began to dissolve, not into blood and bone, but into a billion motes of shimmering silver light. His physical form, his muscle, his scars, all of it turned to dust of pure energy. His wolf spirit, the curse and the nobility fused together, was being unmade. It rose from his empty chains like a swirling galaxy of brilliant fireflies, hung in the air for a single, breathtaking moment, and then vanished into nothing. He was gone. All that was left was a dark scorch mark on the stone floor and a set of empty glowing shackles. The silence in the hall was absolute. The silence in her soul was a deafening roar. Love had failed. Her mercy, his sacrifice. It was all meaningless ash. They had purified him, and in doing so had annihilated the only thing that mattered. The strength left her limbs. The world dissolved into a gray, meaningless blur. Utter, soul-crushing grief washed over her, a black tide that drowned everything. As she collapsed to the cold stone floor, the last of her consciousness slipped away. A final, desperate bargain, a prayer whispered from the ruins of her heart to the goddess who had demanded mercy. "Take my life," she breathed into the darkness. "Just let him be free." Chapter 22. Two Souls, One Whole. He held the fading light of her in his arms, a ghost of a woman who had sacrificed everything. Kale felt her essence unraveling, her spirit preparing to leave the ruined vessel of her body. He could feel her letting go, her soul tired and ready for peace. He would not allow it. He had not come this far, burned down his entire world, only to lose her to the silence. No. He projected through the bond, a desperate, silent roar of refusal. "You will not leave me." He poured his own will back into her, a frantic attempt to shore up the crumbling walls of her life force. It was no longer her giving and him taking. It was a fusion, a frantic, desperate merging of two souls at the precipice of oblivion. Seren felt him. As her consciousness drifted in a warm, silver sea, his presence was a sudden, dark anchor. His stubborn, powerful spirit wrapped around her own, refusing to let her dissipate. His darkness did not extinguish her light. It gave it form, a shape to hold on to in the endless void. His pain, his guilt, his history, it flowed into her. And her light did not flee from it. It flowed back into him, not to heal the old wounds, but to accept them, to make them a part of a new, shared whole. They were suspended in a state between life and death, no longer two separate beings, but a single swirling consciousness of shadow and moonlight, of regret and forgiveness, of brutal strength and divine mercy. They saw the entirety of each other's lives, not as a memory, but as a shared experience. She felt the agony of the curse's first taking. He felt the terror of the burning longhouse. All the secrets and all the pain were laid bare, and in that absolute vulnerability, they found a perfect, unbreakable union. As their souls completed their fusion, a new voice entered their awareness. It was not a whisper. It was a clear cosmic tone that resonated in the very fabric of their new shared being. It was the voice of the moon goddess. "You were meant to be his destruction, daughter of the moon," the voice declared, its tone one of ancient maternal wisdom. "Instead, you became his redemption." The goddess turned her attention to Kale's half of their soul. "You were meant to be a monster, son of the shadow. Instead,
you learned mercy from the one you wronged. The old curse is broken. A new bond is forged. A wave of gentle cosmic energy washed over them. It was not a healing. It was a sealing, a divine ratification of the choice they had made. The chaotic swirl of their spirits stabilized, settling into a new harmonious whole. The goddess had blessed their union, a thing of legend born from blood and sacrifice. They were no longer just a fated alpha and his healer. They were something new entirely, something eternal. Chapter 23, A Kingdom of Mercy. The divine light receded from the hall, leaving behind a reverent silence. Kale found himself kneeling on the cold stone floor, the weight of Saren's body a solid, real thing in his arms. She was no longer translucent. Her skin was pale but opaque, her form whole, but she was unconscious, her breathing a shallow, fragile flutter that terrified him more than any army. The entire hall, his pack, the council's sentinels, the depowered elders, stared at them, their faces a mixture of awe and fear. They had just witnessed a miracle, a divine intervention that had shattered their understanding of the world. From the crowd of broken figures, Riker crawled forward. His face was streaked with tears, his expression one of utter shame. "Kyle, my alpha," he choked out. "I swear to you, I thought I was saving the pack. I thought you were lost to the darkness." Kyle looked down at his former friend, the man whose betrayal had nearly cost them everything. He felt a flicker of the old hot rage, the instinct to snap his neck for his treason. But it was a faint echo of a man he no longer was. Serene's mercy, now a part of his very soul, washed over him, leaving only a profound, weary pity. Vengeance was a fool's game. He ignored Riker. He stood, lifting Saren into his arms as if she were a sleeping child. Her head rested against his chest, a precious, terrifying weight. He turned to face the wolves assembled in the hall, his gaze sweeping over them. He was their leader again, not by right of conquest, but by the will of a power far greater than any of them. He was not the king they had feared, but the one they now needed. "The Age of Bloodbane is over," Kale announced, his voice not a roar, but a clear, resonant declaration that filled the vast space. It was the voice of a man who had faced oblivion and returned humbled. "The laws of vengeance and retribution that have ruled us for centuries die today. We will not answer blood with more blood." He looked down at Seren's peaceful, sleeping face, her sacrifice the foundation of his new creed. "From this day forward," he vowed, to his pack and to himself, "this pack will be ruled by mercy. We will be a haven for the broken, not a fortress of the feared. We will lead by compassion, not by conquest." A stunned silence held the room. Then, one of the younger warriors from his own pack, one who bore a faint scar from Kale's old rages, sank to one knee. Another followed. Then, in a great, rustling wave of fur and leather, every wolf in the hall, his own, the council's guards, the sentinels, bowed their heads and bent the knee. They were not kneeling to a tyrant. They were swearing allegiance to a king who had been redeemed. In the midst of his silent, solemn triumph, he felt a flutter in his arms, a skipped beat against his chest. Serene's heartbeat, the rhythm he now knew as well as his own, faltered. A tremor ran through her body. The price of their miracle, he knew with a chilling certainty, was finally coming due. Chapter 24, The Whispered Fate. Months later, a blood moon hung in the night sky. It was a deep, ominous crimson, a color that once would have filled his pack with a primal dread. Tonight, it was just a beautiful, silent lantern in the sky. It held no power over him. The curse was gone, a ghost of a memory. The territories were at peace. Kyle stood on the highest battlement of his fortress, a place that was no longer a tomb but a thriving, vibrant home. He had honored his vow. He ruled with a compassion that had shocked his rivals into submission. He had offered amnesty to exiles, rebuilt the villages his rage had once terrorized, and forged alliances with treaties of mutual aid, not threats of war,
Riker had been exiled to a remote territory, a punishment of loneliness, not death. The act of mercy had cemented Kale's new reign more than any execution could have. He stood alone, but he was not lonely. He closed his eyes, breathing in the crisp night air. A familiar, gentle warmth bloomed in his chest, a soft pressure against his soul. The bond was a constant, quiet hum, a river of peace that flowed through him always. Serene's body had failed her. Weeks after the battle in the Citadel, her physical form, having poured its last ounce of life into remaking him, had finally given out. He had held her as she took her last, peaceful breath, her silver eyes looking into his with a love that transcended the flesh. He had buried her in the garden she had so briefly enjoyed, beneath a weeping willow. But she had not left him. Her spirit, now forever fused with his, had remained. She was the whisper on the wind that cooled his temper. She was the warmth of the sun on his face. She was the quiet strength that guided his hand as he ruled. He could not see her. He could not touch her. But she was with him, more intimately than any physical presence could ever be. A soft breeze swirled around him, carrying the scent of moon petals from the garden below, and with it, a voice, not in his ears, in his heart. "My love." A peaceful, genuine smile touched Kale's lips. He reached out, his hand closing on empty air, yet he could feel her there. Their story was already becoming a legend, a tale whispered around pack fires for generations to come. The story of the ruthless Bloodbane Alpha and the selfless Moonblood Healer. A story of a monster who found his humanity and a victim who became a savior. A story that proved that while love could not conquer death, it could do something far more impossible. It could rewrite destiny. He was a king, she was his ghost, and together they had finally found their home.